What's up, everybody, and welcome to the House Show Podcast. We, much like Edge, have returned to wrestling, and we thought, what better time to do it than the 2020 Royal Rumble? I, of course, am Corey, joined by always
Joe, and Edge was not the only return tonight. Not forget about the return of Santina.
Santina Marella was there. Much to many people's chagrin, anger, ire, whatever you want to call it.
That's a lot of people, a lot of hatred.
There's a lot of moments I think a lot of people were probably pissed off tonight. But overall, I think it was a good show.
I'm not going to lie. I was angry for a while, too.
Yeah, sure.
I was really not thrilled with the start of the Men's Royal Rumble.
And we'll get to that. Yeah.
But that took a while. But, you know, not only the return of several legends, mm-hmm. especially in the women's match, but you had Naomi returning, which was great.
Yep.
Overall, I have to say, this wasn't a bad pay-per-view. Like,
no.
There's been so many worse. And we've been away from podcasting for a little while now.
Yeah.
What did we say? It was March was the last time? Yeah, I think
March was the last time that we did this. And that was, you know, we life started happening, as it always does.
It was a lot of life that happened all at once. And all of a sudden, being able to keep up with the Four Corners segments was a little trickier. And I was out of the country for a little while.
Yep. You're running from the law.
That's not why I was out of the country.
Why you're out of the country.
I didn't say that was why I was out of the country officially. So there's been a lot of stuff that we haven't really been able to talk about. This could be like a 7-hour podcast because there's just so much stuff that's happened. But for the most part, we're just going to have to go with where we are, what the current trends are, and what we're looking at now that we're on the road to WrestleMania, which is pirate themed.
It is part because it's going to be in Florida.
Well,
at the Tampa Bay.
And that's
Bay.
Where all the pirates are.
They seem to be around water, so I guess that's as good a point as any.
I got to say, I'm a little sad because there does not appear to be a WrestleMania sign. It was on the screen.
It was the LED screen.
Because I was wondering about that because the logo has the sword. It's like, it's going to have a giant sword through it. Like, is it going to, that would.
And they may still be working on something. I don't know. They may just could not have rigged it up.
They couldn't find a sword big enough to stab through the WrestleMania sign.
It's very possible. So we have been keeping up with the product. I've been watching a lot of AEW, NXT, and a little NWA as well.
I've been keeping up with Raw and SmackDown and NXT. I've been recording AEW each week, and most of the time I watch it.
Most of the time.
Sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But I haven't kept up at all with NWA, or I caught like one episode of Impact.
Yeah.
But even that in the past week or so is now the landscape's changing. Brian Cage is not there anymore.
Right.
It's just a lot of big changes.
And you've mostly been the one who always kept up with TNA. I haven't watched TNA in probably 7-8 years. I mean, it's been a while since I've listened.
Yeah, and it's just changing every couple months is a steady stream of people out and then new group in. They just can't keep their crap together.
But what a time to be alive. What a time to be a wrestling fan, you know? Now AEW has a second show that's going to be coming in.
What?
Yeah, they just this last week. They got approved for a second show. And so now that I don't know what we're going to do.
What in the world would that be?
Who knows? They've been kind of tight-lipped about it. But
it's weird.
Mazel tov. Congratulations to them.
I don't know what else is on TNT.
No, like Suits. Is Suits still on? Was that ever on? What's on TNT?
I don't know.
Jesus, I don't even know anymore.
I swear to you, I have no idea what's on TNT.
I have
no clue what got bumped for more AEW. But they got to be thrilled with AEW's numbers. Every single week, somebody is tweeting about the numbers, and I'm rolling my eyes saying, who cares? But every week, they seem to top out over NXT. Not that NXT is doing poorly.
No, at all.
And I'd say head-to-head, I'm ultimately more interested in the storylines on NXT.
I think I am, too. I'm more impressed with what NXT has to offer. But again, AEW, brand new. You know, they've been around for...
Oh, sure.
3-4 months now, and so they're still getting their footing underneath them, and they're still getting some really good talent coming in almost weekly. So they
got
to be doing.
They got a couple more on their way in.
And they got that Tony Khan money, so they ain't hurting anytime soon.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Brody Lee will be showing up soon.
He might be, and Brian Cage possibly, and we'll have to see what happens. So we came together tonight. We watched the Royal Rumble over here at the new studio, and overall it was good. So let's just go ahead and let's jump into it. First match of the night in the pre-show was Sheamus versus Shorty G.
There was really nothing to happen in this. This was the first match that had to happen. And so they were opening up the show. It's the return of Sheamus, his first actual match. He's beaten up Shorty G and done a big pile of foggy backstage, you know, backlit promos. Where you didn't really know what the point was, other than to, you know, be angry and play his Sheamus music, which I gotta say I'm a fan of. It's a great entrance song.
Everybody loves Sheamus. And so Shorty G's still running around in basketball shorts and a top. And
okay, so while we were gone,
they
did this to Chad Gable.
They did.
And it's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. Not good.
I swear to you, they're using the same G. From the certified G's.
From Enzo and Cass.
Yeah. It's the same G, but they peeled the leopard print off of it. It's the same G.
Listen, they paid for that font. They're going to get their money out of that damn font.
It's the same G. I'm
with you.
So I swear, the only thing I was thinking of was Enzo and Cass.
So, we have this match to warm up the crowd, and I'm using the biggest of air quotes that I could find, folks. And it went down the way we thought it would. You know, Sheamus gets the win. It wasn't a squash, but it was definitely a
pummeling.
You could read the writing. So Sheamus gets the win. Good to have Sheamus back. I'd like to see a little bit more variety with him. I wouldn't mind seeing Cesaro come back with him now that Cesaro's just hanging out with Shinsuke and Sammy.
I mean, it would seem that they're committed to Sheamus being a singles act. So they're not going to put them back together, and that's a shame. They really were a great tag team together, and they were enjoyable to watch. And Cesaro and Shinsuke just haven't latched onto anything. They haven't even thrown them a bone to have an actual title match or something. But because Shin's still holding the IC for no reason, there was supposed to be a Shinsuke versus Braun match.
Yeah, I thought
on this,
so.
and they blew it off.
And unless Braun is injured, but looking at what Braun did, he's not. So, I got no clue.
Anyway, see, he was there, and you wanted to showcase him. You started things off. You warmed up the crowd just a little bit. You know, there was that band that you put on before, like two bands before the real act,
right.
And you don't even turn on all the speakers.
No.
Yeah, you don't turn on the subs. On. Yeah. You just leave the subs off. Yeah.
The audience is still walking in.
That's what it was.
So, And then so... Sadly, so was the next match, which was Andrade against Humberto Carrillo. And I was really surprised that they had a belt match on the pre-show rather than the main show. But
I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter about that as well. I don't think I agree. Just because these things have to go somewhere. Like, we didn't have an IC. We had no tag matches.
Sure.
All night. None of the tag titles were defended. None of them even had a match.
Nope.
Not a tag match anyway. So they at least had one. There was no. I guess the Cruiserweight Championships is down to NXT now.
Yeah. So it seems to be. Although 205 is still on the air.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't know what's happening there. I guess they it actually happened. That's a step up from a lot of other championships.
Sure.
So it was there. It was a fine match. Those two guys put on a great match every single time.
They do. Humberto Carrillo is doing well. He's adjusting to the WWE way of things really well. And Andrade is $1 million, especially with Zelina right there to provide encouragement and distractions and a couple of hurricanranas when necessary.
And none of that happened tonight.
No.
It was a really clean match an Andrade match, which usually involves some level of distraction from Zelina Vega.
Yep.
So it didn't have any of that. It was a straight-up match, which makes it a little bit harder to understand because he just beat Carrillo.
Yeah, he beat Carrillo up, down, left, and right. And Carrillo had a little bit of offense, but not as much as he usually does.
And so there's nothing left for this. This is the end of that.
We can hope. Yeah, it needs to be. There needs to be some new people coming in.
There's no momentum. That they killed the momentum on it.
Yeah.
So it was a second warm-up match. It happened. It was a good match. It was mm-hmm. fun to watch.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't take anything away from it. I think it was a solid outing for both men.
But storyline-wise, long-term, there's nothing left there on the bone.
No, absolutely not. Roman Reigns going against King Corbin in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Yeah, okay. I mean, a lot of gimmicks, a lot of tables being busted, mostly the
Samoan drops and
yeah.
The real problem here mm-hmm. is you don't start off the main card with Falls Count Anywhere. With a huge gimmick match, which is going to take time.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, we had Sheamus. Yeah, we had the U.S. title match.
But that was all pre-show.
No, people weren't even there yet.
Yeah.
And so that it was just such a confusing way to start the show. Yeah, you want Roman, you want Corbin, and they're coming back for the end of the show. Which I would say Corbin maybe quarter sold being hurt from the early part of the show when he made his entrance.
Yeah, right.
In the Rumble. Ribs or something. And then that was gone. And then we just didn't play that anymore.
Nope, thankfully.
As a match, it wasn't necessarily bad. It was the rhythm of the match was just off because it's such a strange gimmick to start a card with.
Yeah,
everybody's
just
in their seats. You're just settling in to watch something. And this is different. This is where the Seth Rollins match for a long time has been
the
match. Seth Rollins, while he may knock over an announce table, doesn't, for the most part, do that stuff and go out in the crowd. And match is a match that's built to do that. And you know, this is where you put your standard Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler match.
Honestly, yeah.
Where it's going to be super solid. It's going to set the tone for the night. And that's just not what you get out of a match like this, period. And you don't get it out of Reigns and Corbin.
No, absolutely not. I think both guys are talented wrestlers. I think both guys got a lot of good stuff going.
Yes.
Together, there's no charisma. There's no drive. It's just two big guys with Corbin making fun of them and then slapping around, and then we had a toilet spot. You know, it just
it was no disqualification. You had Rude and Ziggler come in. You had mm-hmm. the Usos come in, and then it was all about them for a little bit, and then
they took off quite a bit. Yeah, especially with I think it was Jimmy jumping off the railings up top and landing on Dolph and Rude. And so, yeah, okay. But I think that time could have been better spent. Maybe I would almost say swapping the match beforehand and having the Falls Count Anywhere be the pre-show ending and then coming in with the title match. But
yikes.
Again, I don't know that it would have solved anything either. So I don't know.
I mean, I think more people would have been outraged if you would have had to move one of the women's titles to that spot.
Absolutely.
But you'd almost want this Falls Count Anywhere to at least be third on the card, maybe. Like, you got to set some tone before that. You can really deviate from
maybe
it
they
and get further out.
Think they should have started off with Bayley and Lacey?
No.
No. Well, that's what we're going to next.
I don't think I would have started with them because of what it ended up looking like.
What it was, yeah. Well, and let's go ahead and talk about it. So, Bayley going against Lacey Evans, which, quick side note, we saw nothing of Sasha Banks tonight.
Yeah, the weirdest.
No Sasha. And let's talk on that for a second, because Sasha's has been back for a couple of months now, and it's been really lackluster with her. Now, whether that's on creative, whether that's on management, whether that's on Sasha, who knows? But I haven't cared to see her. And I like Sasha, but I haven't cared with her duo with Bayley, both of them being heels. And it's been really boring to watch. And so with Sasha not being there, especially not in the Rumble, it was kind of like a little light flashing, saying that maybe Sasha's not long for WWE. I think maybe she came back to fulfill her contract, and
didn't she re-sign, though? Like, she re-signed to come back.
Maybe she did.
It wasn't just filling out the end of the contract like whoever it is where they were injured for a while, so they're making him stay a little bit longer.
Like Jeff Hardy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Jeff or... I think Luke, they made up some time for injury.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a couple people
so.
Like that.
I know they did that with Ray a while back. But
right. It's just strange that they would... that she's disappeared in this way.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that I've read about the changes that are happening backstage, especially with Heyman and Raw, there's a lot of commentary saying that a lot of the storylines that are happening now is much more open for input from the talent.
Which is good.
Which is great. Which is why so many more storylines have interesting things. And I think it can be tricky to balance because everybody wants to play badass and nobody wants to play the comedy spot, really.
Right.
Except for Truth. and New Day. They're like, dude, we'll just do whatever.
Yeah.
You just give us a microphone and we'll go have some fun. But there's more and more people who are being let off the leash.
Yes.
And you would think that Sasha would have enough juice with the public and enough of a history to think that you could let her off of that, those restrictions some, so that she would have some freedom. Now, as we're sitting here talking about this, something that I'm thinking is we're still talking about Sasha. We have a pairing of Sasha and Bailey, and I would have to go out of my way to care less about Bailey. Right now, she's trying to play cold. She's trying to play disinterested. I know that Eddie Guerrero is a hero of hers, and his disinterested whatever attitude is something that, you know, she admires.
The problem is, and our friend Ashley brought this up, like she's doing the Eddie Guerrero. No, Eddie Guerrero could do it because Eddie had passion.
Yes.
And you knew that the passion was there underneath. So when he's playing disinterested, when he's playing cold, you know that the fire's still there. When Bailey's playing cold and disinterested, she's just dead.
Yeah.
From the Karen haircut to whatever she was wearing to the ring tonight as her entrance gear, no one cares about Bailey anymore. And it's sad to see because I do think Bailey has talent, but at the same time, the hugger wasn't getting over. The heel is not getting over. I don't know that there's much they could do with her because the pairing of her and Lacey, this whole storyline leading up to it where they had to involve Lacey's daughter and pull this mama bear thing to make her turn into a face, I just don't care. And it kind of summed it up when Lacey was coming out. The first shot we see is of her daughter picking her nose because even her daughter was bored. And it's sad, but it's true because
poor
that whole...
kid, the poor kid's, what, seven?
Yeah, exactly.
She's 7 years old, man. She's just picking her nose. This. She's not just disinterested. Seven-year-olds pick their nose.
Yeah, but you can see it on the face. You keep a kid out there. She was bored. And it's fine. It's fine. Now mom's out. She had a part to play. They told her backstage, here's what's going to happen. Mommy's going to get thrown in front of you. You look sad. When mommy reaches for you for support, you hold onto her hand. Bailey's going to make fun of you. Yada, yada. Fine. I just didn't care.
And they included her because of that ad spot.
They did. Absolutely right. The corn dog spot.
They did the corn dog spot. Yeah. And with Lacey, starring Lacey, and her daughter appeared in it as well.
Yeah.
And you just know that is why they wanted her to be a face. That is why they wanted her daughter to be involved in this angle. You know, you could almost even say that's why you wanted her against Bailey.
Oh, absolutely.
Because even while she's being healed, you know she's good with kids.
Yeah, and they're...
I think you know that Bailey and that girl backstage are best friends. I'm just telling you.
Sure, I'm sure.
That there's no way that's not true, but she knows that when we go out here, we're going to play like we're mad at each other.
And Lacey has to play the Marine spot, and I'm glad that they're finally kind of zeroing in on her character, because when she was NXT, even the commentators couldn't figure out what she was supposed to be, whether she's a Southern Miss or a ex-MP for the Marines and all this stuff.
Or she's a pinup doll from you know, the side of an airplane.
So, yeah. It's just, I expected Lacey to get the belt, even if for a short time, because of the way they've been building it up. I didn't say they should have. I said I expected them to. And they didn't. And I find that interesting because they built the hell out of this. And she's been on almost every podcast that I listen to talking about, you know, she runs a farm and she milks the chickens and all this. And she's a mother and she's an ex-Marine and all. They're building her up so much. And then it's like a wet fart in church. You know, the match comes to an end. The daughter looks sad but determined for her mother. And we don't even see Lacey anymore. Like, they didn't come back to Lacey holding, hugging her daughter, nothing like that. Lacey just slinked off. It was really weird. And now we've still got Bayley with the belt, which does not matter. And who's going after the belt now?
I don't know. You know, because you know the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble is going after the Raw belt. Like, that's
right. Yeah, that's the way it always is. So who's going after the SmackDown belt? I don't know.
I mean, the interesting angle is Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah, but if...
But you don't even have Sasha.
Right. You don't even have Sasha ringside. Or even in a backstage segment congratulating her friend and maybe sowing the seeds of discord. None of that. So, okay, great.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
I got no fucking clue. I got no damn clue. I don't know.
Hey, I'm really thirsty, by the way. Can I get some chicken milk?
Yeah, you sure can. You can get some chicken milk. Not a problem.
Big, tall glass of chicken milk. My God. There's feathers in my milk.
It's good for you. Builds healthy bones.
Brought to you by chicken milk.
So let's talk about the Women's Rumble.
How do we even talk about this? There's 30 people coming.
We got to. So, Women's Rumble, going in, we only had 8 women on the list. They didn't even tell us who all was going to be in it. So I'm like, okay, so this ought to be interesting. If we go back, I'm pulling up the list right now of all the women in there. I mean, it was a cornucopia of who's who, but what I found most interesting was the strong presence of NXT, more so than almost the main roster itself. I thought that was...
I mean, I think that's probably true. I mean, I would guess numerically they didn't outnumber people from the main roster, but each one of them had such a great spot, except possibly Dakota Kai.
Yeah, Dakota...
She came in...
Came in and right back out.
You just knew that... Yeah. Tegan Nox was supposed to come out right after that.
You thought so, at least.
She did not. She did not come out for a while.
Yeah, because we had Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair starting off, which kudos to Alexa and Bianca for sticking in till pretty much the end. Alexa looked fabulous for being off air in a wrestling capacity for a long time.
Yeah.
Bianca is looking better every single time we see her. I still do not think she's ready for a belt. She's still got a lot of nervous energy, and when she gets into big spots, she looks like she freezes up, but she's gone leaps and bounds from when we first saw her, and every match that she does has been really good.
And I would say probably there's a good chance that a big spot like this and being out there for a good long time,
yeah,
that's the kind of thing. You just log minutes. You need minutes in front of a big crowd like this.
And she got it. And the audience was behind her. Good for her. We saw Molly Holly. We saw Nikki Cross. We saw Lana in a horrible Captain Marvel outfit. And the audience just shit all over that one, which is going to happen.
Which is the point. It's the point. That's what they're doing. Yep. I hate Lana and Lashley as much as anybody else.
But
this is the point. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing. They want us to hate them. They want us to hate them so much. They don't care if we hate them or we love them. It matters to us. Strong reaction every time we see it, and we boo her. And when somebody eliminates her, we cheer, and that is the point.
That is the point. We saw Mercedes Martinez, who just came on to NXT the week before, who is a phenomenal wrestler. We saw her. We saw Mandy Rose. We saw Liv Morgan briefly.
She did eliminate Lana, which furthers that storyline. And Lana jumped back up and eliminated her.
We saw Sonya Deville, Kairi Sane, Mia Yim.
Deville and Mandy Rose did some really great spots and lasted for a good long time.
Mandy had some fun spots with Otis. Otis with the initial save, which was off camera, which was perfect. And so there's a lot of fun stuff with that.
He rolled out from underneath the ring.
The ring where he'd obviously been eating, who knows, a hoagie sandwich of some kind.
Probably.
Shirtless. Dana Brooke had a good showing. Not as strong as I want, but hopefully in the next coming months. She is stronger. Tamina. Woof. Tamina came back.
When she came in,
she was already gassed. She damn near killed two people.
That is a long, confused. Long haul from the dugout to the center of
that. She was gassed when she walked up the steps out of the dugout. It was not a good look.
It's true.
Charlotte Flair, do
you think on like second base?
If they're kind of out of the dugout, yeah, it would have to be like right there, closer to second, heading into midfield. Yeah, tough to say. It was kind of a weird configuration, and you and I spoke earlier. I kind of thought that they were using the smaller ring. It looked like it was a 16x16 from some angles.
Yeah,
but maybe
we were talking about maybe it was the quality of the cameras or something that they were doing a little bit differently. And the early part of the show, things looked really blue.
Yes,
but I was trying to pay attention. I think they were cutting around it a lot, but I believe that in Minute Maid Park, there's a whole huge wall of windows that are a little bit blue,
that are tinted blue
or something, because it seemed to be coming from one side pretty heavily, even though they were cutting away from it, and it went away when it got dark.
True. That's very true. It did. So, yeah, that may have been it. We saw the return of Naomi, who looked wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Her hair was amazing.
Had her hair just out.
Her shoes were on point.
Yeah, had the light
all the
shoes.
Times the shoes, when she first started wearing them, were like one of them would stop.
Yeah. Or a different color.
Yeah, like you'd kick somebody and it would change color, which was kind of amazing, even though I'm sure it was an accident.
She had her big spot,
which
was real iffy for a second there, but thankfully it worked.
So close to touching the ground, but she latched onto the barrier and then got up on the barrier, walked across the tables. But then by the time she got back to the ring,
it was time for her to be out.
Yeah, she got out.
Beth Phoenix gets player of the game because she got knocked somehow, busted the back of her head open, and she started bleeding like Ric Flair.
It was
crazy.
Because
that blonde hair just soaks in the red, and it looked rough, but damned if Beth did not stick it out till the end.
She stayed
like
for a good long time with that hair just soaking it up.
Toni Storm, we saw Kelly, Sarah Logan.
Sarah Logan.
Bless Sarah Logan's heart.
Oh my gosh,
heart.
She that came in. I think I tweeted right away, well, this shouldn't last long, and it really didn't.
She pulled a Santino Marella. And she was almost out instantly.
And I'm like, why does that keep happening? Because I know that she has talent.
She does. She can,
and she's got the size to play the monster in that division, especially when Nia Jax isn't around.
Yeah.
She could be doing a heck of a lot more, and they just don't.
They just don't at all.
She did look like a bushwhacker, though.
She did. We saw Zelina Vega rocking some Mortal Kombat gear. A lot of people tonight were doing comic book video game gear.
I guess out of tribute to Xavier Woods, who could not be in the Royal Rumble himself.
But, you know, Ray Ray's done stuff. A lot of people have done. Johnny Gargano. Batman. Shotzi Blackheart made her first appearance. Carmella came back. Tegan Knox was in there. And then Santino Marella came in as Santina, which, listen, I thought it was funny. He had a moment with Beth Phoenix, and they had some stuff back in the day. He pulls out the Cobra, eliminates himself with the Cobra. It was a funny spot. I can see where people were mad that a true female talent did not have the opportunity, but frankly, the Royal Rumble throughout its history has always had comedy moments, and I did not mind this comedy moment. I think it was fine, but people are going to complain and people are going to have issues. Great. I thought for the brief second that he was in there, probably maybe 2 minutes, if that.
Not even.
Yeah.
Great. It was the rundown and then a little Shayna face Baszler. Off. There was no other parts to that. And then Shayna Baszler
comes in, cleans house. I think she knocked out 7, the same as Bianca Belair. And then Charlotte wins with a really overly complicated spot that did not pay off in the long run.
So she got thrown over the top, pulled herself back up using the top rope, got her feet on top of
Shayna's
shoulder, and was basically there in a push-up position on the top rope, shaking and whatever else.
Right.
And it appears as though the way the spot was supposed to work was that she was supposed to pull Shayna all the way over the top, right, like a luchador or something,
yes,
which, of course, is not in any way part of anything that Charlotte Flair ever can do or should be doing.
Yeah.
She's 12 feet tall. She really shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. And certainly not to somebody with the power and presence of Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so Shayna dropped her, like set her down, like got her off her shoulders. And they like Charlotte literally like looked back at her. I'm like, excuse me, you are going to do this spot now because that's how this is going to end.
Yeah.
And got her feet back up there. And it was junk.
Yeah. Total it was really junk. Bad. And then the audience just shit all over it as they want to do because it's Charlotte. And Charlotte's now going to challenge for the belt at WrestleMania.
And you know, and in her comment after the match, yes, she definitely made it clear she's going after the Raw belt and Becky.
Yeah, she's going after Becky again.
Nobody wants that match again.
Nobody wants it again. Everybody loves Shayna. Everybody wants Shayna to do it. And
like any other act that is overly pushed, to have gone through all of the Royal Rumble just for Charlotte to end it up with this spot when last year in the Royal Rumble WrestleMania, literally was just shoehorned into the main event without real reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Without real
She's
reason.
She's not somebody who needs a shot like this.
No, I don't.
That's why you want Shinsuke Nakamura to win something like this. That's why you need Naomi to win something like this. That's why you need these kind of shots to say, this person who's in the mid-card or way out of anybody's thoughts and minds for a title shot gets one right now.
Yes.
That's what the value of this stuff is. And to hand it to Charlotte, to hand it to Roman, to hand it to these people have shots all year long.
All year long.
Don't need it.
And yet, here we are.
Here we are.
Charlotte wins. Crowd boos her all the way up the ramp, and that's that. We saw the Fiend Bray Wyatt against Daniel Bryan in a strap match with no red light. No overpowering, oversaturating red light. And you and I discussed it at afterwards. I was very happy there wasn't a red light. You brought up that it does affect the mood, that it does affect the overall feeling of the match, which I agree with.
For a couple of reasons. One, the pace of Fiend matches is slower than other matches. And the weight of the saturated red light makes you feel like you're in another world. And so you don't notice that as much because, well, frankly, you're struggling to catch visually everything that's happening. So the fact that you have a little bit more time to do that, you don't notice quite so much that it isn't Andrade versus Carrillo.
Sure.
The other thing is, as great as that mask is made, it's a dude wearing a mask.
Yeah, it is.
It's a fat guy wearing pants that are a little bit too small.
And a really tight shirt.
And a really tight shirt. God love him.
Yep.
And he had dropped weight, and I think he's put some back on.
Yeah, I think he has
because to. We're being shown it. I'm not trying to check on his weight, but we're being shown it very clearly, especially without the red light.
A little red light would have been fine.
Some mystique
is
helpful for creating a completely different environment for the Fiend.
And especially when you're coming into a match as a strap match. You know, both guys tethered together with a 12-foot strap, leather strap. And again, this is another one of those, we're kind of like with the Lacey-Bailey match. We've been building up with this one. And, you know, Daniel has come back as kind of the American Dragon Daniel with the shaved head and the slightly shorter beard. And, you know, we were told by Ramblin' Rabbit that the Fiend has a weakness, but he was killed before he could tell Daniel Bryan. And so we go into this, and both men beat the tar out of each other. They straps were flying, and bodies were bruised and welted up. And there was a couple of times where it looked like Daniel was getting a good lead in, especially when he was pulling Bray into the steel steps. And there's a couple of moments in the middle of the match, but then right out of nowhere, you know, the Fiend hits the mandible claw and does a slam with it.
Yeah. Mandible slam.
And Daniel's done. Yeah. Like clean, no muss, no fuss. Daniel is done. And I think everybody in the audience was as shocked as we were at home. We're like, oh, that's it? Okay.
Yeah.
And then the Fiend just disappears. Lights go off. Fiend is gone. And Daniel has to be helped to the back, although he makes it finally.
For a really long time. Like you probably could have slipped that U.S. title match in there.
You know what? You're probably not wrong. Yeah, it was
just like it was really long walking down the back of the thing.
Again, for that one, for so much buildup, for such an ending, it just felt very underwhelming. And now I don't think that we can have any more Daniel Bryan versus the Fiend. I don't think we should have any more Daniel Bryan versus the Fiend. So now where does Daniel go?
Really,
and where does Bray go?
Really felt like the end of that.
Yeah.
There's not anything left.
It needs to be.
There's not anything. They left no meat on the bone.
Yeah.
With that. And so I don't know what's going next for Bray.
Yeah.
I don't know where Daniel goes.
Yep.
There's just not much to it now because there's no real angles left.
Yeah, there isn't. So
did we have a trio?
No.
Is it a trio or just two?
Two.
Yeah, but it's two for Bray, right? Like, I mean, Daniel hasn't won.
No, I guess, it was, man, I don't know. I guess it was just a duo. I thought it was a trio. It doesn't need to happen again is where we're going.
Yeah,
and so what happened? We got 70 days to WrestleMania. Try to get these two there.
And by all indications of the Royal Rumble match, that one's going the other direction. So
yep, absolutely.
There really is nothing for the Fiend to do yet. Now, it's the Fiend. It's Bray Wyatt. That guy can make a very personal grudge match in like a week.
True.
So if they give him the time, because there's a couple weeks there, man, he was like dominating the 3-hour Raw. He would have 4 or 5 segments.
Yeah. A couple of fun times. And
he just
decides
to pick on somebody and he'll go after him.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see. Then we had Asuka versus Becky Lynch, and that was another one with a lot of buildup and some back and forth to where at one point it looked like Becky was knocked out and they were kind of checking on her, and then as the ref was about to call it, Becky grabs a foot. No, don't you dare.
Yeah, they kind of poked a little bit at the Alexander Wolf spot at Worlds Collide. He got his clock cleared.
And I'm pretty sure they had this planned way before the night before. But there was definitely.
But you could have just added that spot in though.
It's true.
They had all day to work on it.
But yeah, it was a little questionable. You also had Kairi Sane on the outside just hamming it up and chewing on all the scenery. And yelling for Asuka and everything. It was really odd. Lots of back and forth with them. And then at the end, Asuka bites the capsule, Becky Lynch kicks her in the gut, and for some reason that makes Asuka's head throw all the way back to spit the mist into the air and on her face, and then Becky gets her in the disarmer, and that's that. There was a lot of botched turns between them. There was a lot of just uneasiness with quite a bit of the back and forth, and that could have been just their rush for time. It could have been a language barrier, but Asuka's worked too long for there really to be a language barrier excuse with that.
And they've even worked together before.
I mean, yeah, quite a bit. Even. So I don't know. It just, there was a lot of build up to a lot of these matches, and I did not feel that a satisfying conclusion was reached with quite a few of them. This being one, Lacey Bailey.
But at the same time, there's no out. This was the end of all of these feuds.
Yeah, it has to be to make way for whatever's coming for Charlotte and Becky to start another one.
They all had the feel that this was the end of this storyline.
Yes.
But none of them had the feeling of finality.
No,
definitive.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Becky finally has this monkey off her back. She's finally defeated Asuka. Like, it didn't feel like that. It was just like a match and she beat Asuka.
Okay.
Because Asuka's all that time and she couldn't beat Asuka, it was during the run. It was Asuka, this undefeated monster.
Which with Becky lately, for the past 4 months, it's felt just simply as, okay, she beat her. There hasn't been a lot of believable drive behind Becky.
Yeah.
With the belt, and I'm not sure why.
I was saying during the show, I love Becky. I always have. She always has been my favorite of the four.
Sure.
And it always drove me nuts that she got crapped on the most for the long, 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 long time, which then felt amazing that she was able to win headlining WrestleMania, first female match headlining.
With that happenstance from Nia Jax breaking her nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that just all played into it.
Yep.
And so that was fantastic. And I didn't necessarily want her to lose tonight, but for her sake and for everybody else's,
right,
it's time.
It is.
We're down to it.
We don't need Becky two belts anymore.
And it may well be building up towards Charlotte taking it at WrestleMania. I mean, that may well be it.
Yeah,
it may. And that would be fine, honestly.
Sure.
Because she's out of things to do. There's nobody left really for her to beat. You either have to import an entirely new division for Becky to run through, which would be boring, frankly.
It would be.
But she doesn't have anybody else to beat. So now she needs a new set of challenges. She needs to have a very personal feud that has nothing to do with a belt for a while.
Yeah.
Which would rejuvenate, give some new angles, and give another flavor to this, the man character, because right now it's starting to stagnate because there isn't anything else for her to do.
Well, that's very true. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's pretty much in the cards that it's her and Charlotte. And so now we got 70 days to really make that pairing something that we absolutely have to watch at WrestleMania.
I don't think it headlines.
I don't think it needs to.
Nope.
But it needs to definitely be entertaining.
I don't know what else headlines right now. But
yeah, I really don't either. I guess probably Drew and Brock. Which leads us into the Men's Royal Rumble. We knew for the past couple of weeks that Brock is coming in at number one. And so he comes in and, you know, part of me wants to say, okay, good job WWE for building it up the way they did for that beginning where you were just done. You were pissed. You were done. They threw a lot of people at Brock and Brock just took them all out. 17 men he eliminated, one right after the other. I think it was 17. You have a confused look on your face.
I think this number 17 was in when he went out. I think he eliminated, I want to say, when he 15? Eliminated Lee and Braun, that was 13.
13? I'll check it out later. It doesn't matter.
Which I think is specific because that means that he tied Braun.
Yeah, I think you're right. So when Brock came in, yes, he single-handed just annihilated everybody. A couple of good things came of it. One, when Keith Lee came in, Brock looks at him and says, "Who is this motherfucker?" Which was golden for a couple of reasons, because it's Brock putting him over and it's Keith Lee living up to the basket of his glory majesty that is Keith Lee. And then Keith put some stuff on Brock that you saw Brock get that scared look in his eyes, which you don't see often. You saw with Taker and a few others, but for Brock to be intimidated and questioning with Keith Lee, oh, that makes Keith money. Now that he's North American champ, he is money. And obviously Vince recognizes it too. So mm-hmm. that's great for Keith. I hated seeing Keith out so fast. Man, I hated seeing a lot of those people out. Big E and Ray Ray.
Like y'all
and
just eliminate Brock and then fight each other. Like, how stupid do you have to be?
So that was about the halfway point to when Ricochet came in and then Drew McIntyre came in. Ricochet was able to get a forearm to the gonads to Brock, and then a Claymore kick from Drew sends Brock over, which automatically sets up Drew and Lesnar, as they've kind of had a few back and forth, but now this is cemented for WrestleMania because Drew is just huge, massive guy, and is finally getting a really good push behind him because he's proven himself.
Yeah.
He really has turned his whole act around from when he left with 3MB to where he is now. He's great. And after Brock was out, the Rumble became really good. There was lots of really good spots and really good entrances. We saw
it was boring as crap until that.
It was very boring to see it one-sided, but we saw Edge come back, which was amazing because he stayed in it till the end. He and Randy had some good back and forth.
There was rated RKO.
Yeah, the rated RKO
reunion.
There was so many really good stuff, and it felt good to where in the end we had Drew, Roman, and Edge. And Edge gets eliminated by Roman Reigns. Then Drew slops him down with a Claymore and then sends him over. And so Drew McIntyre is the winner and is now going to face for the Universal Championship. Or no, not the Universal, the WWE. The world on Brock. And so that's great because I think that's going to be a really, really good match if they build it up as they need to. They've got time. I mean, I'd like to see a slow burn on this one rather than a huge pop and then just maintaining this medium level all the way through to WrestleMania.
Well, you know that it's going to end up in that moment where the entire roster is trying to pull the two of them apart. That's probably going to be, if not the week right before, like 2 weeks before maybe.
Probably.
So that'll be in there. What I thought was interesting, if that does end up being the match that appears to be, with Ricochet having given the low blow,
mm-hmm.
You have the capacity to have Brock go after Ricochet for at least a week, if not two, maybe the pay-per-view before.
So they could afford a month on it. It'd be fine.
Right. And really cool off a Drew, let him plow through a couple of other guys between so that it builds them up as a pair of monsters.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Speaking of monsters, we saw Seth Rollins and AOP and Buddy Murphy come out. AOP and Buddy Murphy hang around on the sides and offered some support and distraction, especially towards Aleister Black, Samoa Joe, and Kevin Owens, to where at the end they were all fighting each other towards the back, so I'm sure this is not the last we've seen.
Which is what cleared out all of those guys and left Seth in the ring by himself with the other last four, where they just then pummeled him, which is
everybody great. Got to do their finisher except for Edge. Edge did not get to hit a spear on Rollins.
Not on Rollins, but
luckily he was able to hit one on Roman Reigns, which was beautiful. It was good to see Edge back. He looks good. Of course, he looks older. He's aged. It's going to happen, folks. But he was looking pretty strong.
I mentioned that he kind of looked like Wolverine and Logan.
old man
trying to do his old act.
Which
was fine. He is an old man trying to do his old act. That was 9 years ago.
Yep.
Which now sheds a little bit more light on Christian's comments in the end of the pre-show about how he didn't believe in ring rust.
Yeah.
Just that you know, you've been away from the ring for a while, and so sometimes the timing's a little off. Dude, that's what ring rust is. That's what we're talking about.
To see both Beth Phoenix and Edge do as well as they did in the prospective Royal Rumbles, man, that's a power couple to end all power couples. And my hat's off to both of them because they really showed it in spades that, you know, you can be away for a while, but with some work and some conditioning and from a broken freaking neck where you're supposed to be retired for good to be able to come back. And he was in there for over 20 minutes in the Rumble.
And took some decent spots, too. And took some
really solid spots. There was a couple of times like AJ gave him a Pele kick, which was a little softer than it would normally is. I'm fine with that. The way the Edge went out, he landed fine. Everything was good. I do not think that Edge is making a comeback, but it was great to see him in the Rumble.
I have to say, my expectation is that we'll see Edge versus Randy.
Randy? I'd love to see that.
I think it's Edge and Randy at WrestleMania. That'd be a perfectly fine match.
That's a good mid-card match that everybody's happy with.
Yep.
They know each other so well.
Randy will take good care of him.
Yep.
It'll look good. It'll be probably relatively quick, but...
I would think so.
But super solid and exactly what you would want in the middle of a WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that was it. You know, Drew points to the big LED screen and says, I'm going to WrestleMania. And that was, we went off with that one. So overall, I would give this one a B minus as a pay-per-view. I think a lot could have been better, but a lot could have been so much worse.
I was thinking B plus. And because ultimately, when you get down to it, most of the things you felt pretty good about happening the way that they did.
Yes.
Wasn't thrilled with Charlotte.
No.
But I just trying to run down the women who I'd want to be set up against Becky.
Mm. Yeah, right.
A1 Kelly Kelly. Tell you that.
No, it's not Sarah Logan.
That was not Sarah Logan. It was not Lana.
Carmella also made a comeback in the Royal Rumble. Yeah,
Carmella was in there. Good to see her. So I didn't really care for that, and I didn't care for how long Lesnar was in.
Yes,
I get that part of what made the end of it feel better was that Lesnar was gone.
Yes,
I get that, but still didn't make me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
So
I hear you.
But I would give it a B+ because ultimately where we got to, it was a night full of pretty good wrestling, solid storytelling.
I think a two-hour pre-show was a bit much.
A little bit.
I think that could have all been taken care of in about an hour. But, you know, when we get to WrestleMania, it's going to be like a four-hour pre-show and then a seven-hour show. So we got to start building up our stamina for that.
Not for this year, but the rumors are that they're talking around the water cooler about the possibility of next year's WrestleMania being a two-day event.
Well, they saw how good Wrestle Kingdom did it this year. Wrestle Kingdom pulled off two nights and did it really well.
I think it's totally possible to do that, and I think it opens up possibilities in storyline by having any kind of tournament.
Yeah.
Where you get somebody doing two matches on the first day and then coming back for a final match on the last day. I think you got some really interesting possibilities there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And a lot of guys that can do it.
Yes, a lot of guys and a lot of good opportunities now. I mean, there's with NXT being on its own show, being on the network and being on a network, they're really showcasing some great stuff over there. And they've got the talent to really now start padding out all these things and really making WrestleMania a fabulous event, not with a lot of the old, you know, not with like a Sting versus Hogan or anything like that. We don't need any of that, but they've got the ability to bring in NXT now legitimately and showcase what they're able to do, which I think is a positive. And so we'll have to wait and see.
The more that expands, though, the closer you get to college football bowl system.
Okay.
So then you have multiple venues happening over like a full 4-day weekend.
Right. Well, you kind of already have that with WrestleMania because every other indie promotion is having an event in Tampa over that week. So, I mean, yeah, I can see where there could be a definite oversaturation. Because
you're
going to
end up with a takeover. You're going to end up with
takeover Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame night.
And then WrestleMania main event, so... I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. As we've said multiple times, folks, we got 70 days starting now. We got 70 days to WrestleMania. Lots of stuff coming up. Joe and I have been around doing some commentary for some of the local promotions. We just did some stuff with the Lost Art of Wrestling out in McGee. You can find that on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/houseshowpod. I can't guarantee that we're going to start making this a weekly event. Joe and I definitely want to get back into the waters and start doing some more podcasts. So definitely stay tuned. We're sorry for the radio silence, but we're definitely coming back with a few things in mind, and we'll see how fast we can make those happen. Especially with Joe's schedule and my schedule, it's tough to do, but
yep.
We both miss it very much, and we both definitely want to get back into talking with you guys and sharing our opinions on this cornucopia of wrestling that has come about in the year 2020.
Tell you what, it was just so frustrating for so many months just watching all this wrestling and literally having no one to talk to about it. It was the weirdest. I went to a store one time,
yeah.
And there was a dude wearing a WWE shirt.
Right.
And I just started talking to him about wrestling because I was just, I have so many thoughts. I must tell the guy wearing WWE shirt. And he's like, I got it from a thrift store, man. I just, why are we... Do we have to talk this much about this?
We do have a Discord channel, which is very small right now, but we do have Discord, and I can put some information on there if you guys would like to come talk to us. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We hope that you enjoyed the Royal Rumble as much as we did. We appreciate your constant support. You can find me on Twitter at @houseshow_Corey.
I'm at @houseshow_Joe. You can come out and check us out with Lost Art of Wrestling, with Battle Zone, Independent Wrestling, and hopefully Pro Wrestling Ego will pull together a show sometime soon.
Yeah, hopefully so. So find us at House Show Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we will catch you guys next time. Peace.